Good morning, friends. There was a mom who was also a doctor, and she had the opportunity one morning in her schedule to drive her daughter to school, her little four-year-old girl. As her daughter got into the car, the daughter realized that there was her mom's stethoscope sitting there in the passenger seat. The mother had forgot to put it away in her doctor's bag. And so the little girl picked it up, and she began to play with it as they were driving. As the mother looked over, she saw her daughter playing with the stethoscope, and she actually got quite hopeful and was quite excited because her daughter seemed to be very attentive to the stethoscope. And so as she's driving and looking into the mirror and just looking over at her daughter, she began to have these visions of her daughter becoming a doctor, a great world-class doctor someday, and all these images of going through for her doctorate and practicing being a medical doctor sometime in the future. She kept on dreaming and was just full of joy as she's watching her daughter play with this stethoscope with such happiness. Then as she looked over, she watched her daughter do something. Her daughter took the end of the stethoscope, put up to her mouth and said, "Welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order?" High, high hopes in one moment, and then it dashes to the ground in the next. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I feel like that's what my hope is like. There are moments where I'm on the mountaintop and I've got tons of hope, and then circumstances in my life seem to cause all kinds of turmoil and fear and anxiety, and hope seems to be dashed upon the ground. It's in our most difficult moments that we struggle to have hope. In the most trying times in life, we struggle to have hope. But friends, in those difficult times, in the context we find ourselves in, hope should be part of the Christian's life. Hope should be part of our life regardless of what's going on. We're beginning a brand new series that will take us through the summer, and it's on the first book of Peter. And so over the summer, if you want to look at something for your devotions, I can encourage you to read through the book of 1 Peter with us. But today we're going to begin our series by looking at 1 Peter. And let me just give you a little bit of the background. The Apostle Peter, the one who had denied Jesus three times, is now giving some significant leadership. And he's writing this letter to the churches in the northern part of Asia. And they are facing severe persecution for their faith. They are being tried on every front, and it's becoming more and more difficult for them to be a Christian. And Peter writes this letter, and our series focuses on hopeful living. He writes this letter to encourage these Christians to keep going, to keep having hope. And I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 this morning. You can look at the screen. If you're watching online, you'll see it in a few moments, or you can read in your device or your Bible. And it says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter is saying, you are given a living hope. This is not a hope for a situation. This is not a hope that lasts for a moment then is gone. But friends, he's saying that God has placed inside of you a living hope that's there in the mountaintop experiences when you think your four-year-old is going to be a doctor, and in the valley experiences when you think your daughter is going to become a McDonald's employee. He has given you a living hope, something that's always there. And he provides three expectations that we should have as Christians, regardless of what we're going through. The first is promised life. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter begins with new birth, this supernatural birth from above. And it was a very familiar concept to his readers, because they were familiar with John's story of Jesus talking to Nicodemus at nighttime. And Jesus in John chapter 3 verses 3 to 6 says, it says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus said that when we come to Christ, there is a new birth that takes place, that we are born again. This is not behavior modification, friends. When you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't just say, okay, that does it. I'm going to try to change my behaviors. I'm not going to swear as much. I'm not going to lust as much. I'm not going to be as proud. I'm not going to be as angry or whatever thing you're tempted with. You weren't determining to just have behavior modification. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became a brand new creature, new birth, born again. And there are two concepts that the readers of Peter's book to the churches in the northern part of Asia grabbed hold of. First was new family. New birth meant that you were put into a brand new family. The day you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't just become part of a church. You became part of the church. You became part of a brand new family. Sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, you became part of something significant. Friends, why this is so important to the readers is this, is that during this time of persecution, as they gave their lives to Jesus, as these individuals gave their lives to Christ and determined to follow the way of Jesus, they were being disowned by their families. Families were saying, you can't be part of us anymore. We disown you. We don't want to have anything to do with you. And now these Christians are walking out on their own without the support, without the love, without what they need to get through life. And Peter says to them, hey, listen, there's a new birth. You're going to be brought into a brand new family, and there's a promise of life in that family. You are not going to do this on your own. Let me just give a little side statement here. When a person comes into our church, they should experience the life of this family. They shouldn't be criticized. Oh, that was a little junior high moment. They shouldn't be criticized, torn down, gossiped about. You have no idea that the family that they have left in the world, they should come into this place and experience brand new life. They should experience life from the people around them. That there are words of encouragement. That there are people who gather around and hug them. There are people who step into their life. You see, being born again means that you're brought into a new family, and the new family brings life. The second concept is Zoe life. To be born again means that you are awakened to the things of God. It is something that can only happen by the Holy Spirit. You see, when we read through the New Testament, the Greek comes up with two main forms of life. Psuche life and Zoe life. Psuche life is the life that comes from the flesh, the things of this material world. The life that we might get from buying things. The life that we might get from an experience. The life that we get that's temporary. And friends, most of us understand that we've all longed to get life from psuche type of events. Psuche type of things. Things that we thought would bring us the life that we needed in difficult times. And it may bring us joy for just a moment, but we realize that once we've experienced it, once we've had it, that over time that life seems to leave. And the church is told in the northern part of Asia that there is something beyond psuche. As they were losing their psuche life as they're persecuted, as they're losing the privileges that they had before they were Christian, as they're losing the benefits of being a member of society, Peter is saying, don't worry, there's a promise of life. It's a Zoe life that comes from God. It's something that comes from Him that's there in the good times and the bad times. When you are born again, God puts His life inside of you. He puts His life inside of you. You will either get psuche life in your life, that's a lot of life, or Zoe life. Psuche or Zoe, one is available despite the circumstances in our life. I was 7 years old. My mom and my dad had been fighting for about 2 years. I noticed my dad had been pulling away from church and things were just, there were signs that there were cracks in the foundations of my parents' marriage. I remember trying to have to process what was going on in my home. And by the age of 7, my parents had split up. My dad had moved out. And it was true that life felt like hell was breaking out around me. One night, my mom took me to Lakeshore Camp. And I remember going into the kids' service, and I don't remember much of the night. I think I remember the puppets. That was one of the primary things I remember. But I do remember that at the end of the night, the speaker gave a salvation call. I didn't have these deep sins in my life. Like, I wasn't a 7-year-old alcoholic or anything like that. But I knew in that moment that I needed to give my life to Jesus. I knew that I needed to accept Christ as my Savior. And that night I went to the front and I gave my life to Jesus. And something took place. I felt the new birth. I felt the Zoe life breathe into that 7-year-old body. I remember going home, walking into our house in Brampton, knowing that my dad wasn't living there anymore, unsure about the future, knowing that there was all kinds of conflict in the home because my mom and my dad were at each other, and there was hostility from my mom's side of the family, and we were still living in the midst of a context that was very hellish. And yet, as I stood in my house in Brampton, I felt like I had just won the lottery. Why? How can a 7-year-old kid going through such terrible situation in his family, how can he be so full of happiness, so full of joy? Because friends, Zoe life was planted in Jeff Hillier at 7 years of age. And there is this promise to you that when you give your life to Jesus, that there is Zoe life departed into you, that no matter how much hell is breaking out around you, that you can feel the joy of the Lord. You can feel the happiness of life. You can feel the peace that comes from only Him. There's a Zoe life for you. So if you're in this place today and you're facing difficult times, you're facing difficult circumstances, I want to tell you there's a promise of life that comes from being a Christian. Every person will face trials, but new birth gives you a promise of life that will lead you all the way to eternity. This is just the beginning. It's only going to get better, friends. Second promise is the promised portion, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Peter stirs hope as persecution, as Christians face persecution that's going to create loss. There's going to be a rejection of the Christians, pushing them to the fringes of society. Kind of feels like living in Canada right now. Families are disowning these Christians, leaving them without a future inheritance. This is so important. Being disowned is not just an emotional rejection. It means that the inheritance is no longer theirs. That their future is no longer guaranteed, that mom and dad who in a society where there were no RSPs and pension plans, mom and dad held the pension plan, that when they disown them because of their faith, the pension plan ceases to exist. There's great loss. But following Jesus seems to be getting more and more difficult for these Christians. But Peter says there's hope. There's hope. There is a promised portion being kept for those who maintain faith. Something greater than we could ever get on this planet, friends. And Peter describes the portion. He says that it's imperishable. It's free from death or decay. It's not something that is super valuable, but over time starts to decay like a rotten banana. It's unspoilable. It has a freedom from the impurities of this earth. It's unfading. There's a freedom from the natural ravaging over time. Our portion that God is keeping for us, friends, will last forever. And this is why it's so important that in this world, when you're going through difficult times and when society seems to be more hostile towards Christians, that you remember that it's not the things you have in your house, it's not the things you have in your bank account, it's not the possessions of this world, but there is an inheritance, a portion being kept for you that is far greater than anything you could ever, ever get on this planet. Do not compromise your faith on this planet to get things that are going to spoil when you will forfeit the things that will never spoil. Ron Mal tells a story of a 78-year-old minister who moves to California and becomes the pastor of a church. It's the first Sunday, and as the congregation begins to listen to the 78-year-old man, they're like, oh man, what did we get into? They don't like his preaching. He's got no pizzazz. He doesn't have much vision. He just stands there and in a very dry fashion communicates the word of God. So rather than talking to the pastor, the congregation begins to show their displeasure with him by talking about him behind his back, talking during his messages, withholding their tithes, and then they stop attending. And over a period of time, by this taking place from a majority of the members, the church begins to suffer. And the 78-year-old pastor realizes that if he continues to lead this thing, it's going to fall apart, and so he resigns. Well, there were two seminary students that were there in that church, and they came to this pastor, and they said, hey, we got to ask you a question. We know you're 78 years old. You have no family. You have no house. You have no pension. You have no money. What are you going to do? What are you going to do now that you're resigning from this church? And the pastor looked at them and said, I'm going to heaven. And they're like, yeah, we get that. They start to laugh. We understand. Well, of course you are, but what are you really going to do? You have nowhere to turn and no one to help you. And this was his reply. I'm going to heaven. And the fact that I'm going to heaven makes these times of temporary hardships seem insignificant. He kept his eyes on the promised portion, friends. The promised portion. No matter what gets taken away from you on this planet, no matter how difficult times get, keep your eyes on the promised portion. That which you're going to have when you leave this planet. And you may be asking today, well, what is it? What is this inheritance? What is this promised portion? I won't walk you through, it will take way too long for me to walk you through everything. But the Israelites, all the way through to the church, had an understanding of what the portion that God had for them was. From the very beginning of Genesis, all the way through Scripture, we see three things that God's people were promised. Number one, that they would be a people. And friends, those of you who commit your life to Christ, those of you who continue to walk in faith as Peter instructed, are guaranteed to be part of his people. And someday your inheritance will be to stand in a crowd of people of every nation of the world. And you will be part of a people that God will say, this is my bride. That's your inheritance. The second thing is a place. There is a place reserved for you. A new heaven and a new earth. Something that is way better than this earth. As much as Ottawa is beautiful, the waters around Ottawa are beautiful, our country is beautiful, I'm telling you, friends, that there is a promise of an inheritance of a new heaven and a new earth that's for those who keep their faith in Christ. And lastly, the inheritance is his presence. His presence. For the Israelites, it was Jerusalem, the place where the temple was, that if they could be in a place where they were as a people, then the presence of God would be there. But Jesus predicted something far greater, that there would be a day where we would be in heaven and on the new earth, and we would stand in the presence of God Almighty, seeing him face to face. That is our inheritance, that we will see him, friends, for all eternity. And you can experience the greatest of moments in a church service. You can go to a camp or to a revival meeting or wherever you want to go, and you can experience the presence of God, but you have barely touched the surface of what your inheritance is going to be in the future. There is a promise of people, place, and presence. Promised portion. Lastly, Peter says there's a promised protection, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We will be guarded by Christ until the day that Christ's salvation is revealed. Friends, this is so important. We will be guarded by God until the day of Christ's salvation is revealed. God is guarding against the enemy's attacks and schemes that are meant to take you and I out. You need to understand something. The enemy is trying to take your faith out. He's trying to knock you out of God's plans. And every single day, you have no idea what God is doing. Every single day, there are moments that you've been protected by the enemy's schemes, and you've been completely unaware of it. God's been protecting you, friends. If we only could get a little highlight reel of all the moments in this past week that God's been protecting us from the enemy, we would break into praise in this place. He's been protecting his people from what the enemy wants to do. We have just no idea how constant God is involved in our life. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan has tried to take out the disciples. Jesus prays for protection. And then it says that Simon will stumble, but his faith will remain intact. I think it's kind of a nice little pattern for what many of us experience. The enemy comes along and tries to take you and I out, and Jesus steps in and prays for us and protects us, and we may trip up, but our faith doesn't get lost because God has been protecting us. He's been protecting us. See, this doesn't mean that we won't have trials, friends. This idea of promise protection doesn't mean we won't have trials, because the early church had experienced many trials, including martyrdom. But God protects us. This is key. God protects us from anything that doesn't fit his plans. He turns to the people of faith and protects us from anything that doesn't fit his plans. Well, why did he allow some people to be martyred? Because as they stood faithful as martyrs, the gospel magnified. It grew exponentially. And there are times where we do face trials and we don't understand it, but God's allowing it in his plans because it allows him to be proclaimed, and our trust and our faith in him in those moments only solidifies our faith and does something within us. But friends, anything that's not in his plans, let me just tell you this. Anything that's not in his plans, you are protected from. And I want to say this to you today. Some of you are constantly living in fear because the enemy is trying to take out your faith. And you're allowing, and what the passage says that for those who remain in faith, for those who hold the faith, your faith is in Christ. And when the enemy comes along and tries to put the scheme of fear in your life, you are pulling back from faith. I want to tell you something, that you need to let go of those fears and trust a God who will protect you from anything that doesn't fit his plans. Doesn't fit his plans. In the early 2000s, there was a tribal war between the Tutsi and the Hutu tribes in Central Africa. The Tutsi soldiers had arrived at a Christian village, and they made their way into this Christian pastor's home. As they stood there, they held their guns at this pastor's home, and they demanded that the pastor and his family kneel down, and they were about to create a great slaughter. And the pastor said to them, just before they let out the bullets in those guns, he said, could I just pray before I die? Could I just pray just one prayer before I die? And they said, sure. And so the pastor kneeled down there in the middle of his living room with all these guns from these Tutsi soldiers aimed at him. And he closed his eyes, and his family closed their eyes, and they began to pray a simple prayer to God, committing their lives to him, trusting him to take care of them, trusting that whatever his plan was, that everything was going to be fine, even if it meant their life were to end. When they said amen, they opened their eyes, and the soldiers were gone. They rushed to the door to look outside, and they looked all around the village, but the soldiers were gone, and they couldn't believe it. God had stepped in. A few months later, this pastor was preaching in a nearby village, and he went to communicate about what had just happened a few months prior with the Tutsi soldiers. He said, you know, this is what took place. He told the story. He says, I have no idea what happened to those soldiers. And all of a sudden, in the back of the room, someone raised their hand and said, I know what happened to them. I was one of the soldiers in your house, Pastor. And he stood up and he began to explain. He said, Pastor, when we were standing there and you began to pray, suddenly there was a ring of fire that surrounded your family. And we saw this ring of fire, and we knew that if we didn't get out of the house, that it would burn down the house. And so, and we also knew that we didn't need to shoot you, because the ring of fire would definitely kill you because it had surrounded your entire family. So we stepped out of the house and we waited. But as we stepped out of the house, the entire house was on fire. But here's the weird thing, Pastor. The house was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed by the flames. And we didn't understand it, but we knew this. This wasn't a fire that we understood, and we didn't understand what was taking place, but we kind of figured it had to do with your God, and so we got out of that village. He says, it so moved me that I had to come to this church today because I heard you were speaking. I need to know about your God. I need to know about your God. You see, friends, I want to tell you that God protects his people. I want to tell you that you don't need to live in fear, that no matter what the context is, no matter what you're facing in this life, that you don't need to live in fear because there's a promise of protection for your life. If it doesn't fit God's plans, you are okay. Some of you need to hear that. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord. Peter says this, it may get difficult, but keep your faith because God will supernaturally rescue you from the enemy's hand time and time and time and time again. He will keep your faith because the enemy will be defeated by God's hand in your life, a promise of protection. Let me land the plane. Over the last number of years, I have, little confession here, I have done online surveys. I've been doing them for years. I sit in front of the TV with my phone or my iPad, and I just do these little surveys, and you do a survey about some product, and you're given like 200 points, and after 1,000 points, you can cash them in for my favorite Amazon gift cards or some other product. Bought my first e-reader by doing these surveys, and now I've been doing them just while we're watching TV or something like that, somewhere where I'm just chill. And I've been getting these points so I get Amazon cards so I can buy more books, which my wife hates. Anyways, that's what I've been doing. I've been recently doing it with this one company, and over the last few years, I've got like my $10 gift card from Amazon regularly. You cash in 1,000 points and get my gift card. And so in February, I had hit the 1,000 point mark and cashed in and waited for my gift card. A month later, I still hadn't received it, so I sent them a note. Nothing. I thought, okay, sometimes it takes them a little longer. 2 months later, nothing. 3 months. I started to get annoyed, started doing reviews online, hearing other customers who are experiencing the same thing. Here we are, almost July, I still haven't received anything. Multiple emails to customer service, phone calls to customer service, but like, hey, where's my gift card? Every day I check my email with hope that I'm going to get this gift card. That I'm going to get my $10 gift card every day. And the truth is I say that every day I check it with hope, but really it's just a little bit of wasted hopeful thinking. It's just wishful thinking. I'm just like, I'm probably not going to, but maybe, just a little glimmer of hope, just wishful thinking, and I open my email, nothing. Wishful thinking. Wasted. I want to just say this. The reason why I end with this illustration is for some of us, that's what hope has meant. It's just wishful thinking. We don't genuinely think we're going to get what's been promised us. We've gone on for months, and we think, I hope it happens, but I don't really believe God's going to come through. We live not in hope, not in a living hope, but in wishful thinking. Friends, I want to tell you something that Peter was telling the church in the difficult season, that God is true to his word. And no matter what we're facing, he's not calling us to wishful thinking. He's calling us to a living hope, an absolute confidence. You see, the word hope there could better be translated expect, a confident expectation that you just know that you can be guaranteed it's going to happen. I have an absolute confidence that when I go home that my house isn't going to be burnt down. I'm not just like, oh, I hope it's still there. A confidence. I have a confidence when I get in my car that it's going to start. I'm not driving every day like, oh, just hope, just wishful thinking. Some of us own cars that way, it's wishful thinking. But there are things in my life I just guaranteed expectation. And this is what Peter's saying to you, church. That when it comes to your faith in Christ and the promises he has for you, no matter what the circumstances are, it's not wishful thinking. It is a living, confident expectation, no matter how dark it is or no matter how bright it is. that there is a promise of life that God is guaranteeing to every person of faith, that He will breathe Zoe life in the middle of the darkness of the shadow of death, in the middle of the hellish moments, that Zoe life will be inside of you because you are a new creation, His kid. He has promised you a portion that will be unfading, that will last forever, that will exceed anything you could get on this planet, and He is promising His protection over your life. You have a living hope in Jesus Christ, a living hope that God is with us, and there is a living hope in Him. And so, Jesus, we thank You for the words of Your disciple, Peter. We thank You that we have promised life, and I pray that this church will live this week with the Zoe life of God, no matter how dark it gets. I pray that we would grab hold of the concept that we have a promised portion, of being a people for a place with the presence of God forever and ever. Let our hope be on the soon returning of Christ, that we will spend eternity with Him. Let our hope never be in things that are temporal, but on the promised portion. And God, no matter what we're facing, whatever fears are before us, I pray that we would grab hold of the promised protection from You, God. Unless it's in Your will, it will not happen. God, we just believe that Your plans are perfect, and we commit ourselves to You with a living hope, not in man, not in circumstances, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this now in Your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week, everyone.